figured I'd start you off with a little ha-ha funny when you, you know, got back from vacation.
Do I amuse you? Am I a clown?
You are. You are a clown.
Much, yeah.
You do amuse me. You do. Absolutely. I missed you last week. It's good to have you back.
Yeah? How'd you hold it down?
We were good, man. We were good. And it's good to see you're not the sunburn as you were after the first day. It's kind of dissipated.
She
get over here and look at him. Would you look at the way the young man is wearing sunscreen? I said, look.
I wore it all the time, man.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to get involved in the sunscreen stuff with people, but I will say the stuff from Europe is a lot better than the stuff we have here. So if you really need to apply, you gotta have it imported and keep your face from getting sunburned, because that's one thing that I just, not for me. And my mother raised me. She said, there are three S's you can no longer do in life. You will always stay out of the sun, no smoking, and no sex.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with your mother.
I don't know what to tell you.
You got grandchildren. In person. Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Fesco.
She did text in last week about Mac being really good looking, too. I mean,
join the long list, Mrs. Fesco. Right. Join the long list of that growing boy.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad to be back. That's got to be the longest you've done a solo show in how long?
That
was a full week.
It was a full week. Yeah, probably.
Still got it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Not as fun. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I'm sorry, Mac.
Yeah.
Just being honest, I mean, looking back, I chased him away. Nathan's in today.
Yeah.
Getting ready to get married. Congratulations to you.
By the way, I did get your email. I will respond, I promise.
Yes. We responded, did we not? I think my wife took care of that. So.
I think you did. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. Dusty, how many of those three S's did you partake in last week?
All three.
Good for you.
No.
Oh, found an Alabama Bell, maybe? I'm like, ooh, we got some breaking news.
No, it's dangerous down there, man. Yeah. You never know. You gotta avoid the jellyfish.
Yeah. Did you pee on yourself because you got bit by a jellyfish?
For sure.
Or not? Yeah.
Yeah, later on, then felt the burn.
Yeah.
That is a true story. But I do want to recap, and if I miss anything, text line 913-586-7965, Bob Nathan. Please let me know if I missed anything. A week gone.
Yeah, a lot.
Mesmerizing how much goes on.
Well, how many people were dead?
We'll get to that, Sharon. But the thing is like the phone stayed in the room basically the whole trip.
Good.
The morning I'd wake up, take some pictures because I want to make a collage for the IG account when I got back home. Wanted to get some memories to have, whatever. Had the whole thing planned out. My flight out there was only an hour and 40 minutes. It was nuts. So I start with the Royals and then we'll move on to the Chiefs and then we'll get into the world. So with the Royals, everyone's hurt.
Everybody's hurt. The entire rotation is hurt.
My guy Cags, hamstring, 10-day IL.
Yep.
Chris Bubich throwing 85 miles per hour, first three pitches. Surely everything's fine.
Funny.
Leave him in.
So funny on Saturday, Matt goes, what's wrong with Bubich? And Dusty responds, I'm not kidding, to the group thread. He's in his own head.
Yeah.
Next day, it's TL.
Well, you walk four guys in a row. I was like, maybe he just can't find the strike zone. Or he's throwing 87 miles per hour and his shoulder hurts.
Or his arm's hanging off. Either way, it's either getting in his own head or the dangling arm.
Right. And so, or this is why Q takes his pitchers out after 85 pitches in June.
Yes.
So they lose 2 out of 3 to Miami, correct?
That's right.
But then they win 2 out of 3 against Chicago.
That's right.
They win 2 out of 3 against Cleveland.
That's right, yes.
They're four games out of the wild card.
Right.
And now Detroit sucks.
Yeah, Detroit stinks right now.
8-game lead for the Central. What are we going to get, the wild card or the Central? I'm still a believer. Yeah. So are the Royals.
Right.
We'll dive into that. For crap's sake, Dick Mountain is on the starting rotation now.
Yeah.
We got Rich Hill. 45-year-old Rich Hill.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
And then, by God, MJ Melendez is back in a Royals uniform.
I mean, everybody got hurt. What are you supposed to do,
Nick Lofton had a concussion, I believe.
Yeah.
So MJ comes out.
I mean, Tags is out. We got nobody else.
Please, MJ, produce so you can be part of a package deal, or maybe they'll extend him as well.
Yeah,
who knows? As we move on to the Chiefs. Jay Binkley really needs to patch up that. I really don't like this pick about Joshua Simmons.
Because that guy's the star of not only our training camp,
NFL?
But the NFL. He's the star of the NFL right now. And everybody's going, here the Chiefs go again. We told you this was going to happen when they drafted him. This isn't new.
I saw Isaiah Pacheco try to run a route as a receiver.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
I
how
didn't
you're,
see that one.
Oh, my God.
Not
I don't
good.
Know if you guys saw it. He does a little and then moves. It's like, Isaiah Pacheco, why don't you just, maybe not worry about that. George Karlaftis gets a contract extension.
Yep.
So that seems like it's okay.
Yeah.
So if he does ball out, it's cheaper.
Yeah,
if he doesn't after 2 years, you're out of it.
Yeah, it's no big deal. You signed your guys and, you know, you get him locked up. George Karloff is a good football player, too. That's the thing.
Which means there's only one more contract to get done with, right?
Yeah,
that's number 22.
Yeah, but there's no rush on that. You know,
it's done in the offseason?
I don't know. I mean, I know they like to get something done before the start of the season, but I don't know if that's going to be, you know, feasible or possible or anything like that, depending on what Trent Camp is thinking about this whole thing. But I know the Chiefs want to move pretty fast on that and get Trent McDuffie signed up. But if I'm Trent McDuffie, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I would do in that situation. Do you bet on yourself because of so many injuries in this league? Or do you take a nice big contract right now and know that you're going to be financially safe in a place where you want to be? I don't know.
Or
I don't
do
know.
You trust your general manager and team president and owner that had probably said to you, hey, here's what the timeline, you're going to be fine.
Right.
This is the NFL. I understand that sometimes big business can come around and put a knife in your back and all of a sudden you're a, you know, Miami Dolphin. I don't know. I'm nothing to do with Tyreek Hill. I'm just saying random team. But I think that he seems, from people that I've talked to, from you, from other people around the organization, it seems like he seems pretty comfortable with his situation. He's not, you know, fretting the contract. He seems like everything's been told the route that will be, and he's just like, I'm going to play football. I'm going to get a contract. I'm going
to
be a Chief.
Yeah, and he wants to be here. Like, he's putting roots down in Kansas City, too. And this is one of those guys. We've talked about it for the last couple of years. That this is one of the guys that they were going to be the pillar of this organization. Mm. The difference is George Karloftis was a mid-to-high-level type deal, right? We're talking Trent McDuffie, probably the highest of high-level deals right now, right? Because he should be paid as one of the best. And you know how it works in the NFL. Whoever the next usually is the one that gets paid the highest. And so there's going to be, you know, some contracts that maybe get doled out or whatnot. Maybe you want to kind of see where it is. But we're talking about a high-level deal for Trent McDuffie. And those do take a little bit longer. Karloftis, a little bit easier to get done, you know, and now you're going to a guy who's probably one of the top three or four at his position.
Right.
So it's going to take a little bit longer. But it doesn't mean they're not working on it. And they're just like, hey, we'll see at the end of the season. No, I think they would love to get a contract with Trent done before the start of the year.
Would love that. World news. Happy Gilmore 2 came out.
Very fun movie.
Everybody's watched it?
Yeah.
Nathan?
Did you see it, Nathan?
Not yet.
Okay. You've seen the first one?
It's been a while.
Okay. You don't need to see that. Well, you could.
If you want to double feature it.
It'd be good to rewatch.
I've seen the first one so many times that I didn't need to go back and watch
it.
So that came out. Nick Kurtz is Rookie of the Year now.
I mean, unbelievable.
And maybe the next Jason Giambi.
Mm-hmm.
I'll dive into that a little bit later, but he had missed the record home run by about 3 feet over the Crawford boxes, if they still call it that in Houston.
I mean, my God.
And that makes the CAG hunger even worse because he was the man picked right before Caglione.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, yeah, Kurtz, CAGs, like, watch these guys for the future. Obviously, we mentioned CAGs got hurt, and Nick Kurtz is now the favorite. Shout out to Kramer Sansone, who told me that he was going to win Rookie of the Year.
Did Kramer call that earlier in the year?
He called it about 3 weeks ago when Jacob Wilson was still minus 220, and Kurtz was like plus 310. He goes, Kurtz will win it because he could probably hit 30 home runs. I'm like, Kramer.
Yeah.
30 home runs, and then Friday or Saturday happened this weekend, and he was like, told you.
Yeah, four home runs in one game, 6 for 6, 22 total bases. They're calling it the best game in the history of baseball.
Yeah, he tied Sean Green.
Yeah, remember that guy?
Yeah,
he was a
stud. 3 great years.
Yeah, he was for 3 years. You're right.
And then you move on from Gilmore to Nick Kurtz to everyone died when I was gone. The guy from The Cosby Show.
Yep, right? Malcolm Jamal Warner. That was Monday last week. That was like, oh, man. And then it just started to go.
Then we lost Ozzy Osbourne.
Right.
That was sad. But we kind of knew that was coming. He did that concert where he was like strapped into a chair. He wasn't supposed to do anything. But he's like, the hell with you all. I'm going out one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hogan, brother.
Hogan died. Yeah, brother. Yeah.
Massive heart attack from what they're saying, or allegedly, I don't know. He was at his house in El Dorado, however you say it. The EMTs came in there, tried to revive him, died at the hospital like an hour later.
Yeah.
Sad to see that legend of wrestling go.
Yep.
The immortal, no longer immortal. And then Phil Collins, I saw a story that he's in hospice care.
No way. I'd not seen that. Phil Collins is in hospice care?
That's right.
Oh my God.
Yep. And then aliens are coming to Earth in November.
Okay, good.
Saw that. Yep.
Okay.
So there's aliens.
Okay.
Well,
that's fine.
Yeah. According to the New York Post.
Can't get much worse.
Somebody at NASA from Harvard was like, there's a ship. It's going very fast, and it could be destructive, and it's coming. Then, of course, I flew Southwest.
Right.
And before I leave, I see a story that Southwest had to dodge a plane and dive 500 feet down just to duck the other like commercial flight that was coming in. I mean, could you imagine being on that flight and then 500 feet in a second?
Yeah. Have you ever been on a flight where you touched and took back off again? Because that's happened a couple of times. I think it happened to, I want to say it happened to the Chiefs a few years ago, because Josh was like, oh my God, we touched and went. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys did a touch and go? He goes, yeah, it was pretty crazy. And I'm like, yeah, but I've been on planes like that before where they come up short on the runway and they have to touch and go back up and, you know, turn this whole thing around. I mean, it's scary. And especially with the air traffic controller crisis that is going on right now in this country too. I mean, that's a big reason why there's not enough people doing the job. They're underpaid. They're overworked. It's a mess right now in the air traffic controller industry. That's a hell of a career though to get into if you're looking for something. I got to go up in the tower once at KCI with a friend, and
gotcha.
I thought that was really cool to be up there. Very, very, very intricate. Like, you gotta be on board and pay attention, but one little mistake like that and all of a sudden you're thinking, but you're also thinking to yourself, why can't these pilots see better? You know, like what's going on out here? Can you not see this?
It's the air traffic controllers telling them, like, this guy just did, it was a blip on the radar. And according to text line, he was up and early, and I love it. The Phil Collins story is not true. His publicist came out and said he's in a hospital for a knee procedure.
Oh, well, that's not hospice.
No, that's not near death. That's near under the knife for a knee surgery.
That's same day surgery anymore if you're in the United States, you know?
And then, Gulf Shores. I totally support that place. I'll go every year if I can, if I'm fortunate enough. It was a fun trip. Day one in the water. Day one. Jellyfish around the thighs, both thighs stung.
Ow.
Brutal. Didn't know what happened. Never been stung by a jellyfish.
I don't think I've ever been stung.
So they
either.
Identify the way the water is with two flags. They have like white, which is calm, yellow, which is moderate, and then red, which is
stay the F away.
Or like if you are, stay knee high. And then they have a purple flag, which means marine life is very present.
Mm-hmm.
Well, almost the entire trip we were down there, it was a red flag or yellow flag and purple all day. So they have this thing called like sea lice, which is like little bugs that can bite you. I guess I don't know that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't. It's just like you feel like an itch and then it's gone. But yeah, it felt like when the jellyfish got me, like a spaghetti noodle wrapped around my leg, and I was like, "Ooh, what's that?" And then as soon as I went down to get it, it was like a jolt. And then I lifted up my swim trunks, and there were like two little lashes.
At least they get you a little higher.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you got to go a lot higher, and I'm even going on the thigh. And it definitely was interesting. The food was great. Grouper, flounder, all that sort of stuff. Crab cakes. The weather was fantastic. There was one point where we thought we were going to die. We were in like a hurricane almost.
Nice.
We were holding the gazebos down. And then lightning struck the water. And I said, F this on three. We're running to the house. And then we just all jolted. But it was a fun trip. It was a fun time. Good. I tapped in a couple times to watch you guys on the cameras.
They're not working today.
They're not, apparently, because I'm back and broke them.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was a fun trip. I definitely think that you were right about it. In times in life, especially in this industry, I've only been doing this for almost a year.
Yeah.
You got to get away, man.
Got to get away.
It was nice to do that, and then you can go back and look at everything that you missed, or you can just see all your notifications when you come back up to the house, and there's 15.
Or you can just move on. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They signed Karloftis. Great. Weird.
Okay.
I'll take another surf side.
Exactly. Yeah. How much you really care about that stuff when you're on vacation? It's good. Everybody in every industry, you got to unplug. I think a lot of people think, oh, I got to work. You're a better employee when you take time off, and don't let your employer try to tell you you can't have time off, because you will be a better employee when you get that opportunity to, you know, just unwind and forget about everything that's going on at the office. It's a good way to do that. And so there's a lot you can forget and a lot you can remember, but more importantly, your life is going to be made up of those memories you create when you're on vacation, not what you do behind a desk.
No doubt. And then, by the way, the Royals signed Randall Grichuk.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah. They traded for him. And then they signed Seth Lugo last night, which we have to get into. Cause I don't know. I've got a lot to say about that one.
I'm glad that you said that. We'll dive into that. Plus training camp and full pads started yesterday. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Brought to you by the technicians you can trust with your house keys, Anthony Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Missouri Sign, 470 westbound, very heavy construction setup. You hit delays before Raytown Road, crawls over past Raytown Road, getting into a construction zone where just the left lane gets by. It's slow for about a mile and a half, not quite to Blue Ridge Boulevard. Stay comfortable year-round with expert HVAC install, zero down, payments from $150 a month. Schedule now at anthonyphce.com. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic.
Backing it on a Monday here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Nathan, Bob, Dusty, all with you today. Nathan, you here tomorrow as well?
Double dipping?
In 2 days this week.
Oh, yeah. Wow, look at that. Yeah. Got to get that money for the wedding.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. 2 days, right?
Actually, tomorrow, yes. I'll be in with Vern tomorrow night as well.
Good
so, yeah.
Lord.
Just eating up this salary that they offer this position.
Yeah, stick it to the man.
So what are you going to buy, like one shrimp for the wedding with all this hour that, time that you're putting in?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're starting to realize how much things cost for the wedding. Like when you get married, it's like, okay, we're going to have our wedding here. And then you're going to spend $2 to rent each chair. That's going to be, excuse me?
I'll tell you how much linen costs. Table linens.
It's the stupidest thing ever. You got to pay
flowers?
For napkins. Oh, yeah.
Flowers, I believe.
Yeah, the flowers, yes. But here's a little trick that my wife and I did because we
soft
were cheap.
Butter.
Yes, you got to have warm butter. You cannot have cold butter at the table. Nobody. That was my only request for my wedding was warm butter. And the wedding planner person thought I was nuts, but everybody goes, oh, he's right. You know, try to put cold butter on your bread. It rips the bread. Nobody wants that, right? What we did at our wedding to save money because we were cheap is that the bridesmaids had the flowers, their bouquets. Then they went on the table as the centerpieces.
100%.
You know, you do stuff like that to try to save some money because it's expensive, man.
Yeah, that's happening. And guys, look, I hate to burst your bubble. You're right about the warm butter take. If you think this is a wedding where there's going to be butter on the table, this is not the type of event you've signed up to attend.
Good.
No, we're so happy that you guys and Mac will be able to make it out. So we're looking forward
to it. For sure.
It'll be a lot of fun, man. Thanks
Holy
for inviting
cow,
us,
it's
too.
Expensive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's insane. The table linens, yes. Yeah. Dollar a napkin, 6 cents a fork. Like, what?
That's why Binkley works so hard. He's done two weddings.
Yeah, he has.
It tell you something about weddings, Nathan.
Yeah.
They're great until they're not. Coming up next on Pink at Night.
Yeah. Please do not take wedding advice from Jay Binkley, okay?
You will get a pizza cutter from Binkley for your wedding.
Yeah. Look, he is on the list. He was invited. Okay. Should he choose to, well, whether or not he attends, I know that my next time with Binkley on the air will be rough. I know I'm going to get it from him for the entire
show. Oh, for sure.
So
yeah.
I just know that is what it is. And
yeah, just ask Drew about it. Yeah. No, that's great, man. Congrats to you and the missus. They're fun. Weddings are great. Just give your best man the advice. Hey, man, minute 30 seconds. That's your time.
Yeah, you get 90 seconds.
And the bridesmaid is on the clock.
Right.
Or the maid of honor is on the clock. Minute 30, which that won't happen.
Well, that no chance. No chance.
It started in first grade.
Yep.
When I dropped my backpack, and she was there to help me.
Right.
Then second grade started. Oh my God! We can't get up and get beer until you stop. No. So last night news breaks. I'm interested on both your takes, as Nathan. I know you're tapped in the Royals, Bob. Come on. And so, 7:30. Some of us were not.
Look, I'm just gonna say my wife and I had a long weekend. We had some alone time last night. Dusty's texting me about ribs and beans.
I got ghosted by Bob last night.
Yeah. Well, we were. You know, we had a nice night. It was. You know, we were back home in our own bed. We were having a good time. What can I say? I would have taken the ribs, but
I think you got another rib. ribbed for her pleasure.
That is correct.
So, well, yeah. Lugo is extended as a Royals pitcher. And I think a lot of people, when they first saw this news, went, huh?
Yeah.
That was the guy that we were supposed to trade.
Right.
But apparently, Randall Grudzik and Adam Frazier, or I think that's his name.
Yep.
Those are guys that you've gotten. And then Lugo gets extended. And I don't know where to go with this. I've kind of pondered this back and forth since last night. This morning, thinking about what this team means. And there's two sides to this, I believe. I believe one side of the fan base is the Royals are in denial. They're not a playoff team. They're not good. They're, you know, under 500. But they played pretty well since the All-Star break, and that's what they had to do. They've won two out of three in two series against two decent teams. The Cubs, good.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, they've always thorn in your side. Well, you lose two out of three to Miami. What are they doing? I don't understand this. You need to sell, get value while you can. The other side, finally, we have an owner that likes to spend money and keep a team, maybe a core, together.
Right.
No doubt about it. In the 52 games that Seth Lugo has pitched for the Royals, he's been a top starter in baseball.
He's been the best Royals starter in 50 games in the history of the franchise.
So there's reasons on both sides, and I'm interested to get both of your sides. Text line, feel free to engage as well, 913-586-7965. But Lugo is forever Royal.
Yeah, and this is a move that says to me, this is not a move about today. This is more about a move for the future of this organization. And when you were out last week, we had talked about Lugo making probably his final start for the Royals in Chicago.
Vern talked about it yesterday in his pregame show.
Yeah, right. Like everybody was talking about it. It was kind of common conversation. And I suggested, look, I mean, you really like Lugo and he likes it here. But you know what you can help the team, trading Lugo, getting better now, getting a long-term bat, you know, in the lineup, in the organization. And again, maybe there wasn't one available that they wanted, you know, with Seth Lugo. They went through everything and the offers just weren't there. But I was thinking about you trade Seth Lugo at the deadline, get some bats back in return, and then you can go out there and re-sign him in the offseason. There's no rules against that, right? You can go out there and re-sign a guy if you've traded him. Doesn't happen a lot, but it's something that you can go out there and do. And I thought that was the plan for the Royals. I just don't see how, other than the injuries that now have taken place in the pitching staff. And if you would have traded Seth Lugo, now you're down four starters from the beginning of the year. And so I understand that side of things. But if you're truly making a push for the playoffs this year, re-signing Seth Lugo is not a push towards the playoffs. It's more of a, hey, we probably don't think we're going to make a push towards the playoffs. We plan to retool in the offseason, and we want Seth Lugo as a big part of our rotation next year when we're able to retool this offseason, maybe get a bat, maybe get a big trade. But we got to have Seth Lugo in our rotation going forward for the next couple of years, because we don't know what's going on with Cole Reagans. We don't know what's going on with, you know, Chris Bubich. We don't know what's going on with Michael Lorenzen and how long those guys are going to be out. So we need to have this guy rock solid pitcher for us for the next couple of years in our rotation. But it doesn't make you better today, and it doesn't give you the opportunity to get better today, because now you're keeping Seth Lugo long term. I would have loved to have seen a trade, get some bats back in return, and re-sign Seth Lugo. That's obviously pie in the sky type thing, but I was as surprised as anybody when I saw Lugo re-sign. I'm like, that's not a push for 2025. That's a push for 2026 and 2027, in my opinion.
So this is from Andy Rogers. Source confirms that Seth Lugo's extension is worth a guaranteed $46 million for 2 years, $20 million each of 2026 and 27. Vesting options were $20 million or a club option for $17 million with $3 million buyout. Lugo also gets a $3 million signing bonus as well. So, yeah. Not the biggest contract, more so like this is where your value is at the age that you are and what you've done for us right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the buyout after 2 years. But, Nathan, you see Seth Lugo extended with the Royals. What's that make you feel about this season?
I also think that it's not about this season.
Right.
It doesn't change the way that I feel. I think the best outcome for this season involved moving starting pitching into – you know, an asset on the offensive side. They tried to do it with Brady Singer. I think they would have done it in a situation like this had you not lost Reagans and Bubich, you know, recently. J.J. Piccolo said on the pregame show with Ryan yesterday that they're 2 weeks away from knowing where Cole Reagans is. Like, I mean, guys, we don't have a whole lot of Reagans or Bubich left in the tank this season.
Right, exactly.
But as going forward, looking to the future, I think the consensus is that the team is two bats away. I think this last offseason, they tried to go get a leadoff hitter. It hasn't maybe materialized like they thought it would.
Mm-hmm. India's been hot and cold.
He has.
You know?
He has. And recently, obviously had a big hit over the weekend. Yep. He's gotten on base a lot more. But I don't think he's the guy that everyone thought he could be. Mm-hmm. And then we all know how the number five hitter just didn't materialize over the offseason. I think, guys, this means we could have seen the last of Chris Bubich in a Royals uniform. I think with 1 year of control after this season going forward,
he may be a guy you flip in the offseason.
He's the guy that you use to flip for one of those bats. And then, shelling out this amount of money to a pitcher of this age, you got to think that this offseason they will spend the money to get that big middle of the order at the bat, you know. I'll be damned if the market doesn't materialize. We're going to go get those pieces and make this lineup better. So it's actually kind of a shot in the arm for me with thinking about the future of this team.
Yeah, I think it's a good future move. I don't think it's a today. Yeah, you make kind of a face like, and I think that kind of sums up. If we're looking at today, right, if we're looking at 2025, this doesn't do anything to make your ball club better today, but it really does set you up for the next 2 years. And so, to me, I hate to use the term white flag, and we're waving the white flag on the season and stuff like that. But that was your biggest asset if you were going to improve for this year. And again, maybe those bats just aren't available out there to trade somebody for, to get and have somebody come back in, because there's a lot of teams that are looking for bats. I like this move for the future. I don't like it for today. And you can have both, you know?
Yeah, because I think you look at what this means, like, they're not quote unquote out of it. Right. You took care of business against Cleveland. I believe in the wild card standings, you're four games back, out, but you're only if you, it's so weird when you look at this, because you look at the teams above you and you think about the games. So you're a half game behind Cleveland,
right?
You're a game behind Tampa, and then you're a game behind Tampa, a game behind Texas, a half game behind Cleveland. If all three of those teams lose two games and you win the next two out of three against Atlanta, then all of a sudden, you're looking at, you're a game behind Seattle, who is the third team in the wild card spot. So
they believe in their team. They believe in their guys. They're paying money to these guys, mm-hmm. which means you have ownership that believes in this team. And I get it. There's frustrations every night. You've got Rich Hill, I believe, going tonight for the Royals against Atlanta.
He pitched fairly well the other night for a 45-year-old cat. You know, it wasn't like awful. He kept you in a game.
And it's weird when you look at these sort of things with the Royals because, yeah, it is. It's Rich Hill versus Spencer Strider.
Oh, that's tonight?
One guy's going to throw 100 miles an hour. The other guy's going to throw 70. But no, I'm torn between this because I'm with you the whole time, you know, thinking on vacation, I'm like, somebody's moving. And then I get Randall Grichuk and I'm like, okay. And then you realize that wasn't necessarily a move to make you better. That was a move because Caglione strained the hamstring.
Right.
So you have a repatch there and you didn't give up anything for him. Nobody knew who the pitcher they gave up for.
Oh, there were people complaining about that. Oh. I did see people complaining about a guy they never heard of.
Like Cam Devernay or whoever that guy was.
Yeah,
that they traded for
Kevin Duvernay Tardif.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. The French doctor.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just it makes me think that they're giving this a fighting chance. I do think they'll finish the season over 500, currently 52 and 54. They look to be playing better, but what stinks is it's almost like it's like the theory that we called out. The pitching was so good the first half,
yep.
But how long does it last? And watch, the hitting will come and the pitching will dissipate. Bubich is out, Reagans is out, Lorenzen's out. Nixon 5 is out.
Right.
All this is out. And all of a sudden,
hire Mike Brown.
The lineup yesterday, I sent you guys a screenshot. I said, whoa, 4 runs.
Yeah.
And it's like Noah Cameron, stud. So you got him. You got Lugo. You've got.
I mean, where would this team be without Noah Cameron right now? Seriously. I'm not just talking about this
six
year.
Six games below 500.
Yeah, but moving forward for the future as well. I mean, because now you can start to piece together, you know, kind of your 26 rotation. You're going to have Noah Cameron in that rotation. You're definitely going to have Seth Lugo in that rotation. Waka will be in that rotation, right? And so then you kind of fill in the spots from there. You know, you hope Cole Reagans is back and ready to go. You don't know if Chris Bubich is going to be a trade chip this offseason. I think it's a very good trade chip this offseason. And I don't know if you're going to be able to compete again for a bat, because last year when you were trying to compete for a bat, you were competing with Toronto for Santander. He ended up signing for $30 million more than what you were willing to pay. So acquiring a bat on the free agent market, probably not the competition that the Royals want because somebody else is going to overpay. But if you have Chris Bubich and you can deal from a position of strength, which Bubich is, that's a guy that you do look to potentially move this offseason. We were talking about potentially moving him, you know, at the trade deadline with the controllability that he has with the rest of this year and then all of next season.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you get better. You get better by trading Brady Singer. You get better by trading Chris Bubich. And I love the fact that JJ, you know, sees that and they're not afraid to deal from a position of strength to get better at a position of weakness. That's what you have to do in baseball. You have to use your assets, and players are assets. And Chris Bubich, I think, is going to be one of the biggest assets at the winter meeting. And they're going to be able to walk around and go, all right, who's going to give us a good bat for Chris Bubich? Like, what are we going to do here? Who's going to be our guy, you know?
And not only that, but if you're in this situation next year where you need a bat that you didn't get in the offseason and you have Seth Lugo, there will be a team that is probably rich in money when it comes to them, and they will take on this contract because it doesn't do anything to their roster.
Right. Like,
they'll take on whatever he's owed left of the 46 guaranteed. Well, I guess not the 46, but whatever he's due left, they'll just take that contract, and you can still move Seth Lugo if it doesn't work out next year and you know, had a different type of season. But it is a little after 6:30. It is a Monday, so we can get into our overreactions. I'm not sure what your guys's are, but I know what mine is. Nick Kurtz will be a New York Yankee first baseman in about 4 years.
You have him, and who else did you have to the Yankees?
Paul Skeens.
That's right.
Yeah. Nick Kurtz is Jason Giambi 2.0, but the clean version.
Okay.
Because you saw what he did over the weekend, the 4 home runs, the double, the whatever it was, all the 19 total bases, whatever the hell it was. That guy just, to me, he's in, of course, Oakland or Sacramento or Vegas, whatever it is. Once again, a shell of talent is pouring out of the A's system. We know they won't keep them. We know they won't stick around. He will be a New York Yankees left-handed hitter that will hit 45 home runs for 5 consecutive years. He is going to be Jason Giambi when they got him from the A's, just like when they had all those guys in the A's. Now, again, these guys were all juiced up, but at one point they had Chavez, they had Tejada, Giambi, all these great players. And then they all just let him go, right? Tejada was on steroids, won MVP. Giambi was on steroids, won MVP. Where did he go after he won the MVP? The Yankees.
That's
what did he do in New York? Was a hell of a left-handed bat with snake eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Nick Kurtz
he
will
did
be.
Have those snake eyes, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did. I'm looking at him right now.
Like, yeah. Steroids shrink your nuts and your eyes, apparently. Yeah. But the thing is that you watch these. And the other thing that's great about Nick Kurtz and overreaction is these guys that are drafted out of college can produce immediately. And mm-hmm. I know that you watch Nick Kurtz and you're like, this is what we want Cags to be so bad. Baseball's hard.
Hard.
Baseball's tough.
Yep.
And maybe Nick Kurtz is a new superstar in the league at the age of 22. The dude's a hoss. The dude's a stud. And maybe this gives you some sort of promise that maybe after this hamstring setback and Cags can reset, maybe we see Cags come back and show us that left-handed power that he has.
Yeah, and we can get into the Cags stuff too, but this disabled list stint couldn't come at a better time. I mean, it really couldn't have come at a better time for Jack Caglione. I guess I can make that my overreaction if I wanted to. I wanted to do an overreaction on Dion, but it may not be an overreaction. Dion may be quitting today as the Colorado head coach. There's reports that that may be happening a little bit later on this morning.
Stay tuned in the 9 o'clock hour for that.
Yeah, I mean, that will end up being probably the biggest story of the day if Dion does walk away from Colorado. And that really does suck. I don't like that. I could overreact about Josh Simmons, quite honestly, guys. I don't think anything is an overreaction right now about Josh Simmons.
Don't like that pick,
Binkley, do you? And then for me, though, I think the overreaction is going to be on Jack Caglione, because I do think that this disabled list stint couldn't have happened at a better time. We were getting to the point now where you had to make a decision to either keep him up here or send him back down, because he was clearly not playing well in the outfield, clearly not, you know, hitting at all, probably losing some confidence, never has kind of been through this in his life at any level. And so you kind of had to figure out, what are we going to do here with Jack Caglione? Are we going to keep him up here and let him fight through this thing? Are we going to send him down and let him realize success? Well, now he's got the injury and you don't have to worry about that. And then you can send him down on a rehab assignment where he can go down to the minor leagues, realize some of that success, get his mind right again, and realize that he is still a really good baseball player. But I think this is a great reset for Jack Caglione, great reset for the organization with him, because in a perfect world, they wouldn't have had to bring him up this year. But as we know how this world went, it's not a perfect world, because we got MJ Melendez back up at the big league level.
Better believe it. You got an overreaction over there, Nate?
I do. But first, I think that Cags, what would have mashing AAA for longer done for him? He still had to have gone through this.
That's right.
And
yeah.
So
right.
That is an overreaction had he not been on the IL, in my opinion. I think it's that Shamar Stewart's a bust, guys. I don't know if you saw the videos of his first day at training camp yesterday
after
he signed. It looks like he hasn't done any physical activity while he's been negotiating this contract, anything. And I think that's my take for the day, is Shamar Stewart bust.
So they got the video of him looking fat and out of shape and whatnot. I mean, what would you have done in that situation? You got to keep working out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess any contract situation, you there's always that thought in your mind of like, we see it all the time in contract years. Like, what if the player gets hurt this year? So he's holding out instead. But to never have been in the league before and then show up and you're getting tossed around like a rag doll by the Bengals O-line, who is not known for tossing guys around like rag dolls.
Yeah.
Maybe not the way I would have approached it.
And I think probably there's a little from the offensive lineman. All right, Rook, you held out long enough. And, you know, even though we support you, now we're going to show you what it's like to play in the NFL, you know?
Yeah, maybe he needs to do the long drive, 15 play drive in St. Joe.
Oh, my God, they did that the other day. Everybody was talking about that yesterday.
We've got audio of Mike Dana doing it, talking about how it makes you a dog and how you got to dig deep. We'll play that a little bit later. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand, you know, being a rookie, I don't know how much clout you have. Obviously, you're an individual and you're trying to, you know, protect yourself contract-wise, yep. And eventually it worked out, so he wins. But, like, how much does he win? Because now it's like,
you better perform.
Are you a soreness in the locker room? I mean, here you are coming to a locker room. It's got Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, who are established. Joe Burrow, stud, after watching the quarterback on the flight. Really like that guy a lot. And his dad's a G. I would go to the tailgate and hang out with his dad.
The father's cool, man. Yeah.
He's like, we keep seeing all these freeloaders at this tailgate.
He interviewed Ralph? What? Wow. Ralph was in that? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Mac?
He's like, all these people just started showing up. And who's Joe Burrow's dad?
Right.
So that was good. But no,
the freeloaders at the tailgate are the worst. If you're going to somebody's tailgate, bring a bottle of something, man.
Or just stop by Hy-Vee and just grab a thing of cookies.
Yeah,
at least you have
got something.
They will get eight. I promise you.
Oh,
if they don't,
sneak
them away and put them back in your car.
Yeah. When you're going to a tailgate, yes, show up with something in your hands, of course. But I will say there have been times, especially in younger years, you get someone to drop you off up by the Denny's and you're walking down to the parking lot. You're going to be fed and watered on the way into the stadium.
Right.
All you got to do is walk through the parking lot and yell, "Go Chiefs," and someone's going to take care of you.
Someone will. But if you know you're going to a tailgate, when Ralph invites you to the tailgate, bring something, Blaze, not a bottle of, you know, Fireball that you stole from me and you chugged with your open mouth and then contaminated the entire bottle.
Yeah, you got to just, or just bring that little bucket of Fireball.
There you go. If you bring a bucket of Fireball shooters to a tailgate, you're a hero.
And you can get it done real quick. Oh, hey, Bob's here. Catch. All right, see ya.
Right, and then nobody asks, what did that guy bring? Oh, he brought the Fireball shooters for everybody. Yeah, don't be a freeloader at the tailgate.
So, yeah, that is our overreaction on a Monday. Coming up on the other side, I don't know why it's so hard for the Oakland, Sacramento, Vegas A's broadcast team to do.
Brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Things are pretty heavy out there on 470 westbound. You hit delays now before View High Drive. Just crawls over towards Raytown Road. There's a construction zone past Raytown Road with only the left lane getting by. Things are sluggish out to Blue Ridge Boulevard, so about 2.5 miles of heavy traffic. Having unexpected car trouble or just in a car accident, call Jay's Southland Tow Service, 816-779-4869 or southlandtow.com. Use the tow service trusted by most local police departments. They can do it all, so be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic.
This morning, I insist that you make a double shot of espresso coffee. You're going to need it.
And then add some booze into it because, boy, oh boy, that's going to be a mess this morning, isn't it? You came through there this morning, didn't you, before?
They were setting up. Yeah. I was gone for a week, hadn't driven for a while, and then all of a sudden I saw on the Lee Summit community page asking about 470 westbound. I'm like, that is like the first leg of my drive.
Yep.
First, you know, part of it, the left lane shut, then the right lane shut. And I thought to myself, by God, this is going to be brutal about 7:30. So just keep it on 96.5 The Fan. You'll get to listen to extended time because you'll be stuck in traffic. And you can always hear funny clips like the A's broadcast.
1-2 pitch. High in the air, deep to right. That ball is foul. Or gone.
That ball was absolutely launched. Law Dog posing him up at the dish.
Law Dog.
He knew it off the bat. It was just a matter of how far.
I don't know if you saw the video of this.
It was dead center.
That ball was right center cut, about 435 feet, 18 rows up in the right center field bleachers.
That wasn't even close to the foul pole.
Foul. Okay. I mean,
it was not even close. It wasn't near. It wasn't like even in the vicinity of the foul pole. And so that was like, it was just a bad call. Like, I don't know if that broadcaster wasn't paying attention to what was going on, was watching something else, was checking out somebody in the crowd or whatever the case may be. Calls get missed every once in a while. I've never seen one missed like that in my entire life. I mean, that was a moonshot to right center.
The guy pimp walked it as soon as he hit it. I don't know what the guy was watching. It was in Houston. And the ball is clearly right center field, literally 15 rows deep.
Yeah.
425, probably, I don't know if it was that far, but at least 400 feet gone to right field. Not like it was, you know, hugging the pole or like going to be close to hitting it or nothing, going over the top of it. No, just a clear cut home run shot
right
to right center field. I don't know what they do for like the Oakland broadcast team, but it's been terrible for 2 years. You had the Dippin' Dots slip up earlier this year. Right. Like, I don't know how that comes out. That was nuts. You had the idiot that was talking about Kansas City and how he slipped in a derogatory term explaining the Negro Leagues Museum. He's fired. And then you got Dallas Braden, who I don't know what he's doing, but he's not great. They should have open tryouts for the Oakland broadcast.
Yeah, they really should, because their broadcast is brutal. I was talking with some people around baseball about it last week, and I'm like, God, like, oh, you know, I like to, and I'm sure you've done this in the past, mm-hmm. and Nathan, maybe you have as well. You fall asleep to a West Coast game, right? It's something that you like to do. And for me, Vin Scully for many years was kind of what I went to bed with, listening to the Dodger game at night, just flipping it on and kind of mellowing out. And it was always just the perfect, peaceful sound of summer. I love going to bed to a West Coast baseball game, right? You can't with Oakland. It is a brutal broadcast. It is terrible. It's embarrassing. And it sounds like, I think you used the term, the high school broadcast. I mean, it really does. It sounds like the kids, you know, in Diane Houston's class down at Grandview, and they're better and they're great students that she has down there in that TV department. Shout out Grandview High School for the kids down there and what they do. But that's what the Oakland A's broadcast is. It literally is a high school broadcast. And I guess they don't care because they're playing in a minor league stadium, but that product is awful. It is a brutal, brutal listen and a brutal watch. And if that's the only game that's on a night game for a West Coast game, it's on to Seinfeld. I can't fall asleep to an Oakland A's West Coast game. That's how brutal it is. And I don't like saying that because I know broadcasting is hard. Doing these jobs aren't easy. But there's a lot of broadcasts around baseball that seemingly just don't put much effort into what they're doing.
Somebody in the text line says, is he joking?
No.
No, he wasn't serious.
No, he's serious. Yeah, he was serious about that.
I also feel like we're spoiled with our broadcast team.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah. I mean, we don't appreciate Ryan enough, and I've been saying it for years. He should be on national broadcast. Probably doesn't want to because he's got kids and a life and all that kind of good stuff that he's finding to be more important than, you know, calling every game around the country. Ryan LaFever is... I almost said a bad word there. Effing awesome. Sorry, Ryan. But I almost, that's how good he is. I mean, that's how good I think Ryan is. He almost made me say the F word on the air.
Mm.
All of our guys are so like witty as well. You can just sit here and like not even you scroll your phone, watch the game. You can just sit there just doing nothing except for listening to our radio broadcast and have a really enjoyable time. We're very lucky. And Chris Carey, I don't know if it's Carey Carey. This is the Oakland
Carey. No, it's Chris. It's Harry Carey's grandson, I believe.
Chris Carey?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
He had to have been watching Butler and thought that he was not running because it was a foul ball. And then he took, because he did pimp the home run like Tessie talked
about.
Sure. Yeah. So that had to have been what he was relying on.
Hose, dude.
And he said, I totally lost it in the lights. No excuses. Unfair to Butler game, and our fans. It was indoor. Yeah, yeah. I just don't.
Wait, read it again.
Totally lost it in the lights. No excuses.
That's
was the
excuse.
First part of
it. Yeah. Totally lost in the lights, man. No excuses. No, you did.
I mean, this ball, I don't know if you guys listening have seen this. This ball was, you know how they used to have that like hill in center field.
Yeah.
It would have been closer to the hill than it was to being a foul ball.
That's like, correct. It was a bomb. No, I mean, you could hear it on the call. Near. I mean, it was jacked. I mean, it was a moonshot. Yeah. It was unbelievable. What you do in those situations, and this is where I think we're pretty good, you know, Dusty, you and I, we're very self-deprecating, right? I mean, and that's the way that you have to be in these moments. What he should have done, come out and goes, damn, I was bad on that call. I really screwed that one up, dude. I'm sorry.
Or
my bad.
Or the next foul ball, you're like, that one's definitely foul.
Yeah, exactly.
But instead.
That guy's an idiot, man.
Mm-hmm. Instead, you're out there saying you lost it in the lights.
But no excuses. I just don't get that.
I just wish all across baseball there would be more of a standard than there is for broadcasters. And I hate to continue to harp on Pittsburgh, but that was the last kind of visiting broadcast that I was watching a couple of weeks ago when the Pirates were here. Mm. Boy, it's brutal. I mean, like it's sometimes you don't even know if they have an announcer that's on the television broadcast, and you're wondering like what's going on. Like when I was a kid and you know growing up. Those guys that were on TV, man, like you revered them. They were superstars. They were the voices of summer, and these were big name guys, and these were important people in your childhood. Now they're throwing together baseball broadcasters, grabbing people from the crowd and putting them up there.
We need more guys like Hud.
Because like we do.
Because like Dallas isn't great. Like I think he's a good dude, but he just it doesn't translate into the broadcast. Like. That was a no doubter. It's like, no, like, it's just, you need better. And again, I think like you had said, and then I have said, like, I think we're just spoiled when it comes to Denny and Ryan and Hud and Jake's been a good addition. And Steve's kind of the, you know, the sit back guy that'll, you know, do the road games as well, but also give you like a statistic that you're like, well, you know, Jake, the last time he actually pitched was 2 days ago. Unfortunately, they did the opener. And
right.
You're like, oh yeah, that's right. I did forget about that. Instead, you got guys in Oakland that are topping out. Dipping dots and calling them, you know, Richard dots. And then, and then you got the other guy that a couple years ago, and then Nick Castellanos hits a home run. And then you got this, the ball is foul. No, it's not. It's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, man.
That viral, it's from a couple years ago where they're playing the Rays. And the lady's like, hey, Siri, it's not your night. In the bottom of the ninth with two outs.
Right.
After the first strike. And then the next pitch, Jose Siri just launches a game-tying home run. Just perfect.
Announcers' curses are real.
Yeah.
But no, our guys are – and, you know, I think with Hud specifically, people have recently gone from kind of rolling their eyes a little bit when he says something a little bit silly to being like, man, that's why we love this guy.
That's right.
And now online, you know, every time he makes a little sound when someone hits a home run, that goes, you know, locally viral. Like, mm-hmm. people like that.
Right.
They like the personality and the humility And the cohesion of our team. And I think we're so lucky compared to so many other markets.
Well, and also too with Hudler, I mean, he's what baseball announcers used to be, like the characters of the game. I mean, you go back and you think about some of the great broadcasters that you loved over the years. I mean, use Harry Carey as he was a character of the game. I mean, those were the guys that you listened to that had fun, that played the game, that you never knew what they were going to say. John Madden in football, Dick Vitale in basketball, maybe not the best analysts of what was going on, but they were the most entertaining. They kept you engaged in the game, and we need more Rex Hudlers in this world.
Sit in there.
Poked into left. Nemo dives and missed it.
Come on,
and all the way past it. Salvi gets on his horse. Wilson waves the ball. All the way home. Yeah, tie game.
See? That's what it's all about.
Right.
That's what you need.
That's what you want.
And I get it. At times it's a little too much, but I mean, hey, you know? I love to hear that, and I love to hear this because we dive into this on the other side.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
I got a feeling Jay Beatley's going to start loving that pick here in a little bit because the biggest focus at camp is still the biggest focus, but with a different narrative. We dive into that on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.